My first question is, I want to ask you guys, you know, coming off of, you know, youth forums, I have to tell you, this is, you know, this is my fifth year coming to your guys' youth forum, you know, four at CME, one here, and it was awesome. This was the first youth forum. I didn't have to do a thing. Well, I technically had to speak on Friday, but I don't even consider that actually speaking. That was just a fun conversation I got to have with all the teens, because they're all hyper from the drive. They don't remember anything the first guy says, so I felt like that was great for me, because then I could have said anything. But it was the first year. I didn't preach on Sunday. I didn't speak. I just got to sit back and listen to Eli and Glenn do an amazing job. But something I've always wanted to ask you guys, you know, the Church of Ventura, you know, the people who sponsor this, they put it on. Why do you do this? Why do you put on the youth forum? And if I hear, because we've always done it, I'm going to leave. Yeah, don't say that. Because we've always done it. Why? Keeps the rest of you young. I know what you mean, Bruce. Makes me feel 28 all over again. Yeah. What else? What do you? How about you guys that sponsor that host homes, those that provide cookies? Why is this something that you guys participate in to this day?
To encourage our young to stay in the church.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Betty, you had your hand up?
My prayer when we decided to host this year was that we share the love and peace and acceptance of Jesus Christ to those people who came to our home.
Yeah. I had a hand raised back there. Maybe not. Eddie? Ben? Yeah.
When you see that, it's just a marvelous thing to see. I mean, young people that could be, they can buy anything in the world that the rest of the kids are being attracted to.
And I want to give you guys some background. You know, if you guys didn't already know, there was an enormous congregation, youth group that came down from South Sacramento. And they came and they were so excited. At first, you ask yourself, why would they travel 7 hours, 6 hours to come to a youth forum? That's crazy. That's why would we ever, I don't think we would have that same enthusiasm if there was a youth rally in Sacramento taking all of our youth up there. And so I do have to tell you guys, growing up in Northern California, there are no youth rallies. There was nothing. I grew up most of my life in the churches, from the age of 10, growing up in the Churches of Christ, not even knowing that the Churches of Christ were a thing. I thought they were just a bunch of crazy people that met up in little, you know, strip malls and little, you know, little tiny churches in just in up in Yuba City and Sacramento, North Sacramento and in Grass Valley and that area. Churches are 50 miles apart if a city has a Church of Christ. We look at Southern California and we see, well, these churches are closing all over the place. Well, in Northern California, the same thing is happening, but it is whole counties losing churches. It is whole counties losing out on that ability. Where you have youth groups that if it's 10 kids. And so when they came down here and they were invited and they were just blown away that they were invited and they came and they participated, I just thought that was incredible.
When you see a gathering, such as we saw this last weekend, what you're seeing is the future
Yeah. It's something that's right, and something that was said earlier about encouraging the young to stay in the church. That it's something about passing on our faith, you know, passing, and I've always seen that passing the baton. And sometimes we think of this baton as our actual ministry, that if I could pass on the baton, once it's out of my hands, and I'm free from ministry. We're trying to get the church to do the job of the church. That there's something about this youth ministry. The reason why we keep on doing this is that we can not only just connect, not only can we just pass on a baton, encourage them to stay in the church, but also somehow transfer the faith, the wisdom of the older into the younger. Now, I'm wondering if anybody, you know, if anybody sees these youth forums as something that they have to tolerate. You know, that we sing new songs, songs that we may not be comfortable with, songs that we may not even know, some songs that we have to stumble with. They have this chorus that keeps going and going and going and going. And if you look at new songs, songs that have been published within the last 10 years, that's how it is. I mean, these choruses just keep going and going, and they are beautiful. But I wonder if when we look at this youth form, is it something that we tolerate, or do we see the opportunity that we have, that we get to invite kids, that we get to invite high schoolers, young adults, and their chaperones, that they can come here from all over California, a state that desperately needs something like this, and so that we can come together and worship God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 1. See, I see this job that we have. You know, this, and we've been talking about it. We were discussing it when Dave and I were discussing discipleship. You know, this concept of passing on our faith, this idea of ministry, how it's supposed to be transitional, that it's supposed to be relational, that it's supposed to be connections and networks. That we cannot just come to church individually and leave individually. That we just can't come here and then just leave and act like nothing has ever happened. And I'm amazed that when God decided to put on this planet humans, the first thing that he does is he institutes the family. That he doesn't put a church down in the garden. He doesn't say, all right, welcome to the garden. Here's your pews. This is your podium where you get up and speak. Here are the elders that don't exist yet, but you'll have kids. They'll be your elders. You know, he doesn't put down a church. He puts down a family. He puts down a network. And he tells them, I want you, Adam and Eve, I want you to go and I want you to be fruitful and multiply, pass on this gift of life to your children. And then he models the Israelite nation after that family, after that tribe, because it starts in a family. And then when Christ goes up into heaven and he decides and he gives down the next stage of the family of God, and he says, this is what I want to call it. The called out, ecclesia, the church, the body. I call this the body of Christ. All of these interconnected individuals. And the reason I do this is because it is so important that we be connected to each other. Not just of people the same age or the same mentality, but people of different ages, of different backgrounds. And that is in Proverbs chapter 1. I love this because as David is giving Solomon his wisdom, he sees the importance of this. So let's start in verse 1 and just read down. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. To a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And David gives Solomon the building blocks to start with. And first he draws attention to how important it is to pass on your wisdom in an effective manner. Meaning that it's one thing just to spout off wisdom. It's quite another to teach that wisdom to somebody else in a way that they can understand. So he starts off with this grand picture of what it is to be a wise man and what it is to be foolish and how important it is to seek after wisdom. And he says, but remember that the very beginning, it all starts with this one fact, to fear the Lord. That is the beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning of knowing something, is where you stand between, that's where you stand in front of God. And you have to be fearful when you are in front of God, because God knows more than all of us, right? Regardless of what age we are, that is what I think is a great unifier amongst all of us, that regardless of how long you've been baptized or how early, how soon you've been baptized, that God knows more than all of us, and it is to Him that we submit. It is to His wisdom that we look to. And he says, remember, at the very beginning, you have to fear the Lord, and then you will know. And then applying that knowledge, where wisdom comes in, that will happen after. So verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful. They are a graceful wreath on your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us live and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as they go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in our lot with us. We shall all have one purse. And first he describes the foolishness. He describes the world's wisdom. The one thing I love and I am so thankful for, and I've mentioned this before and I'm going to continue mentioning this, I am so thankful for my grandpa. I am very thankful for my grandfather. And we all have those authority figures in our lives, the anchors, right? Usually the older men or the older women who have just gone through the Depression, who's gone through world wars. When we complain about our gluten intolerance, they complain about having to boil belts to eat because they were so hungry during the Depression. I cannot stand complaining in front of my 100-year-old grandma. I can't. It's really hard. If I complain about shoes, he's like, I remember when I had to make my first pair of shoes. Yeah, they're bronze. They're sitting right there. Look at them. You know, if I ever complain about being hungry, my grandmother always can one-up me. She says, yeah, I just remember not eating for a week. And it was really difficult to complain about my grandma. And then also, if I ever complain about my grandma, because my grandma keeps everything. It's just like all grandmas do, I feel. She just kept everything in just tins. I was telling this to Donna. She has about 1 billion cookie tins. Every year, about 2 times a year, she would give me a cookie tin of freshly baked. They're Swedish spice cookies. They're the best things you have ever had in your entire life. I'm not even joking. And she gave Natalie the recipe for this. And Natalie, bless her heart, she tried to make the cookies. Doesn't even come close. And anyway, she has these tins of cookies. And every year we'd be getting these tins of cookies. And they would look old and ancient. We think she's got to be running out of these tins. You go to her house, she has closets full of them. She just keeps them. She keeps everything. And one thing that I love about her is the wisdom that she has. The wisdom, that ability to be able to really know what it is to worry about. My grandpa, he would be able to look at a situation. He'd be able to look at a mechanical thing and it is broken. He'd be able to see exactly what needs to happen to fix it. Where I would look at it and just think, tetanus. That's all I would think. I'd be like, Grandpa, how are you possibly able to just stick your hands in a machine like that? And if you were to see his hands, they would be nubs of hands. They would be cracked and scarred, and they would be disgusting, and they would constantly always smell of oil for whatever reason. He could clean his hands all day, but at the end of the day, they would just always smell like oil because he used his hands. When you listened to him, you knew you were listening to wisdom. I mean, real wisdom. Not like NPR wisdom. I'm talking about real, applicable, how to fix a fan wisdom. Something that you didn't doubt. Something that when you heard it, you know it to be true. This wisdom that he talks about, he says, here's your choices. You can listen to those who are wiser than you. You can listen to me. You can listen to your mother. You can listen to people who love you, who not only want the best for you, but want to do everything possible to help you achieve your goals, or you can listen to this person. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest reasons to have this youth forum is to give an opposite viewpoint than the world's. Meaning, and this is what I really mean by this, the youth are subject to the world constantly, just as much as you are, but you have the wisdom to know what that world is. To them, they are subject to it constantly, bombarded by it constantly. I remember going through Sunset, and one of our classes, one of the first classes we had was on family, family dynamics. And we were going through studies about fatherhood and the importance of fatherhood. And they were saying that the modern father will only spend 45 minutes of quality time with his children a week. And I thought, that's impossible, right? I mean, that's got to be fake. That can't be true. And I went back to my youth group and I gave them this statistic and they said, man, I haven't seen my dad in a month. Yeah, I don't know. Once I go to his house every other weekend, there was only one kid and a youth group of 15 that saw his dad every night. Look at that and think, man, good grief. The youth of this world is so bombarded with this false wisdom. This wisdom that says it is all out for you. It is all about you. You deserve everything. You deserve the next iPhone. And guess what? If you don't have it, you're not even cool. That's what the world tells them all the time. And we laugh. But to them, this is a serious struggle. And so when they come to this youth forum, year after year, whenever they go to something like this, they come together, they look into the eyes of the other youth, and they say, man, I'm not alone. Man, thank God I'm not alone. I have 74 other people who struggle with the exact same thing I do. I have 74 other teenagers and young adults who know exactly what it is I'm going through, even though nothing is said. You know, I love, we had a devotional here on Saturday night, and one of the kids was talking, and he's describing, he's saying, thank you, older people. And I thought, I'm an older people. I like that. Like, to a 15-year-old, yeah, I'm twice your age, buddy.
That's weird, isn't
it? Yeah, but anyway, so I don't know what you mean, Bruce. But something he said, you know, he said, thank you for seeing this in us. He said, thank you for telling us. Because the topic of this day, of this last week was, there's an app for that, and it's really a lie that there's an app for everything, that there's an app for hope, an app for love, an app for joy and contentment. And that if when we look at technology, when we look at Facebook and social media, and we go to those sites for our own self-esteem, for our own self-worth, to make us happy, when we depend upon other physical things for our hope, like we all do, regardless of what we consider to be technology, that's completely wrong. That it is all about God. It is all about Christ. It's all about the Word of God, brother. And he said, and it was amazing. I didn't even think that would come out of this week. He said, thank you for knowing what we needed, that we needed to disconnect, that we need to go back to the person, to the originator of our hope, to the originator of our wisdom and our knowledge. That as David gives to Solomon this one nugget of truth, and he says, here's your choice. Fear the Lord or fear the world. Which one do you want? One of them will be a wreath around your neck. One of them will give you everything you could have ever possibly wanted, stuff that you didn't even know you wanted yourself. Or you can fear the world. You can fear the world. You can look to the world, and the world will give you everything that you think you want, and you will die by it. You will be suffocated by it. So I encourage you, keep doing the youth forum. Keep participating. Next year when it comes around, find another way. Find different ways that you can connect with these kids, that not just our kids, because I know that we're already doing that, but to go out of our way to connect with other kids, with other youth groups, and to find different ways so that we can be Christ to these guys, so that we can be not only good examples, so that we can encourage them, not just to leave, so we encourage them to stay in church, but we can encourage them to stay in Christ. So we can encourage them and show them a life worth living, a life worthy of the gospel. So if you have anything, if you have any needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.